What's up, everybody? Welcome to Spot On. Yeah, my baby right here. And you are listening to radio.dominican.edu, Penguin Radio. Welcome. It's a lovely day outside. And I mean, it feels a little bit chilly, but I hope everybody's doing good. I hope there's nobody sick because of the weather. And I hope everybody's doing their thing out there. So before we kick off the show, news on top of the how right now is the suspect actually who have been suspected of the Boston bombing, one of them who's alive actually has told the cops that they planned NYC, New York City attack. And that is what they were planning before the Boston bombing. So apparently, we don't know why they changed their minds. But if you want to read more on that particular news, go to CNN.com right now, because that is breaking news. And the cops are right on top of it. And I'm sure everybody would love to know what is going on in that particular area. And the U.S. has accused Syria of using chemical weapons because all the people who are actually suffering right now in Syria, who are being taken to the hospital, they are showing signs of strange signs, basically. And that has actually made experts, bomb experts, to think that Syria has been using chemical weapons on its citizens. And then Israel forces have shot down a drone in the Middle East. And five presidents have gathered to honor Margaret Thatcher. And Obama has actually congratulated Bush. And if you want to read more on those news, basically, go to CNN.com and check out what is going on. Yesterday, actually, Real Madrid got thrashed 4-1 by Borussia Dortmund. And one particular player, Lewandowski, scored all 4 goals. So that was huge in the Champions League, because as you recall, on Tuesday, Barcelona got thrashed 4-0 by Bayern Munich. So by the way things stand right now, it seems like it might be a German affair in the Champions League final that is going to take place in Wembley. I can't wait for that. So second leg is coming up next week. Stay tuned, guys. Y'all should watch the matches, because I can't wait to find out who's going to go through the finals. Because as of right now, it seems like Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund are in favorable position to go through. But you know, football being football, you can never say until the whole 90 minutes is over. So as things stand right now, it means that Barcelona got a score 5-0 at Nou Camp, and Real Madrid got a score 4-0 or 5 goals. Like, basically, they got to score a lot of goals. They got to score a lot of goals to go through. So I know everybody be waiting for that, and I am anxious. I am also waiting. Personally, I don't want Barcelona to go through. I don't want Real Madrid to go through. Like, you know, they will just brag too much. Real Madrid will be like, yo, we thrashed Manchester United on our way to the semis. And, you know, like, if they lift the trophy, basically, they're going to say that they did it by thrashing Man United. So I don't want them to say that. So I'd rather they don't go through. But we'll see. I mean, you know, everybody got their biases and whatnot. And also, during the week, Manchester United actually lifted their 20th Premier League title. Yeah! And that is huge. That is huge, because that has placed them as an all-time, as just basically they've raked in an all-time title. And that means that they're the best in the English Premier League, because following closely is Liverpool, who got 18 Premiership titles. Man United 20, and that is history, folks. That is history. So, apart from the football world, we got a lot to talk about today, and I'm going to just let you, you know, think about what we just talked about. Go read the news on CNN.com and check out what is going on, because there's like a lot of interesting that should definitely capture your attention, and we're going to be right back. If you're joining us right now, you are listening to radio.dominican.edu. Yeah, my baby, right here. This is Spot On.
When I first saw you, I saw love. And the first time you touched me, I felt love. And after all this time, you're still the one I love.
Yeah, looks like we made it. Look how far we've come, my baby. We might have took the long way. We knew we'd get there someday. They said, I bet they'll never make it. But just look at us holding on. We're still together, still going strong.
Yeah, welcome back to Spot On. Yeah, my baby, right here. You are tuning to radio.dominican.edu. I know you're loving that song, but I'm not gonna let it play all the way. So basically, when you're jamming, because I know you're jamming to that tune. Beautiful tune, by the way. That used to be one of my favorite songs. I still love it. I still think that's a beautiful song, very creative. So we're gonna get right on it, folks. First of all, I'ma kick this show by telling y'all, 5 things you should never say at work. And if you say these 5 things, then that means you're gonna get yourself fired from your workplace. Okay? So there is an interesting article that was just written yesterday by a lady, a writer called Catherine Conlon. Catherine Conlon, she wrote this article that I came across yesterday, and I actually thought this article was beautiful. That is why I want to talk about this article with y'all, because this can actually help y'all when you get a job or at your workplace, and it might improve your communication skills with everybody out there, with your colleagues, with your boss, with your friends, with anybody that you're working with, okay? Because I know there's a lot of people out there who do not have good working skills. You know what I'm saying? There's just people who are so weird. And so this article actually can help you also deal with those kind of folks, you know? Because I know some folks who have been fired from their workplace just because they did not have good relation skills, okay? So this article was written by, like I said, was written by Catherine Conlon, but the success coach who actually came out with these ideas of how, or the 5 things that you should never say at your workplace, her name is Bob Kranz Taylor, and he's a principal consultant at the Bailey Group in Minneapolis, okay? So one of the things that you should never say, I know you're anxious, you just want to know, one of the things that you should never say at your workplace is, it's all your fault. It's all your fault. y'all know the kind of people who keeps putting blames on other folks, like they don't want to acknowledge their part in their fault, and they're just saying that it's all somebody else's fault. I try to steer away from these folks, actually. Matter of fact, if somebody, you know, keeps saying, or, you know what I'm saying, like if something goes down, and then the kind of folks who always say, always quick to pinpoint blame on somebody else, who, you know, there's this kind of folks who always say, oh, it's all somebody's fault. You know this kind of folks? Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. So I try to keep away from this kind of folks because they never, ever accept that they played a game or they played a part when something goes down, something that is not right. Okay? So, Taylor, he's saying that people who say it's all your fault can make you look insecure and reluctant to take responsibility, or even a tyrant, basically. So, Taylor is saying that leaders need self-management, and if they feel angry, then they need to find ways to deal with it. Okay? So lashing out and blaming others not only doesn't solve the problem at hand, it wrecks the business relationships and can seriously hurt your career. So instead, focus on solving the problem, and then when things are quieter, find out how to prevent the problem from happening again. Okay, folks? So don't blame others. Don't be quick to judge. Don't be quick to point fingers. Don't do that. Okay? The second thing that you should resist from saying at your workplace is, it's all my fault. Taking the blame, it's all my fault. Okay? Taylor is saying that this, it's all my fault thing, seems like it could be hurtful sometimes, but Taylor wants that it's not. Okay? It's not. So falling on your sword basically brings you into a place of shame, she says. And being the martyr and taking everything on yourself can set you up for future blame, as well as plant the impression that you are incompetent. Accept the responsibility for the things if the responsibility is yours. Okay? Y'all should accept the responsibility for the things only if the responsibility is truly yours, and you can apologize for a situation that somebody else is in. And Taylor says that adding that or doing that can be effective in moving the focus away from who's at fault and onto finding solutions. So while you acknowledge that something that has happened, something bad that went down, it's all your fault, while it can be helpful, it's not. Okay? So think about it, and definitely you can find ways to reach solutions without pushing yourself down. You know what I'm saying? So if it's all your fault, truly you can take responsibility, but at the same time, be wary of putting you and setting yourself up for future blame. Okay? Another thing that you should not say at your workplace is, it's not fair. It's not fair. Y'all know those kind of folks who always say, oh, it's not fair, who always laugh things when things go down their way? Those kind of folks. So you say this at your workplace, then it's going to put you, basically, it's going to put the spotlight on y'all and not in a good way, folks. Okay? So Ms. Taylor is saying that whether this is true or not, this is one of the most unhelpful things you can say at your workplace. And no matter how you say it, it's going to come across as whining. Yeah, I mean, to me, it comes across as whining when somebody always say, oh, it's not fair. It's not fair. You know, those kind of folks who always say it's not fair. Yeah, I always keep my eyes on those kind of folks. Okay? So, the answer you're likely to get can be something along the lines of, you're right, so what? And instead, find more concrete, fact-based objections to something you want to change, rather than relying on emotional appeal. Okay, that is actually very important, folks. That is very important. Wow, you're relying on emotional appeal while you always say, oh, it's not fair. You should focus more and find more concrete fact-based objections to something you want to change rather than sit there and whining. Because every time you say it's not, something is not fair, you come across to folks as the whining kind. And you don't want to come across as a whining kind because nobody would want to associate with y'all, basically. Okay? I'm just telling you, folks. I'm just telling y'all. This is very important. And another thing that you should not say at your workplace is, that's not my job. That's not my job. Now, I know many people who like saying that. You're at your workplace, for instance, at your desk, and then you're designing something, and then somebody tells you to, oh, can you please do this for me? And then you'll be like, oh, it's not my job. Hell no. When you're at the workplace, you should be flexible. You should give out a helping hand so that when in the nearby, in the future, basically, you would want somebody to help you out with something, you can ask him without feeling guilty because you turned him down previously. All right? So, Mrs. Taylor is saying, in today's work environment, employees are often asked to go above and beyond as a matter of routine. And that's not my job can make you look stubborn when you say that. When you say that's not your job, it makes you come across to people as stubborn, lazy, and generally uninterested in the company's success. Instead, identify the problem. You have the task at hand. And it is something you truly don't have time for. If it is something that you truly don't have time for, what you gotta do is ask somebody else who can do it better than y'all to see or to find time and see if they can do it. Okay? So, if it's something that you can do, basically, you should try to do it, folks. You should try to do it for the sake and the benefit of the company. You know, that actually makes you look at somebody who can go out of their way to do something that was not their task. And it just sets you up for good, you know, promotion. You know, every time a promotion comes by, you won't be passed over. Okay? You won't be passed over. So think about it, folks. Do not ever, ever, ever say, that's not my job at your workplace. Look interested a little bit. You know, if you don't want to do something, look interested and at least say, yo, I ain't got time for that. But if I did, I would do it. I would actually do it. You know? All right. The last and the most important thing also do not to say at your workplace is don't tell so-and-so. But, you know, the gossip, the rumor mongers, the people who like gossip. Yeah, those kind of folks. Don't tell so-and-so, but I'm going to tell you this and that. Yeah, man, I'm always very wary and always very aware of folks who start sentences like that, or who folks who want to tell you something and then they say that. You know, if you want to tell somebody something, go ahead and say it. Don't be like, don't say it, so don't tell so and so. I mean, what you trying to hide? You know? So Miss Taylor is saying that office politics can be devastating. And while you may be involved in in-close door meetings with colleagues or managers, don't say anything in private or work that you wouldn't want anybody else finding out. Okay? So no matter how you think, your manager or the secret you're telling, you can manage those secrets, whites have a way of coming out. They have a way of coming around and getting you, you know? So be prudent about what you share and to whom you share it with. Watching your words, it is important part of your work. You know what I mean? Watch your words, watch what you say, watch to whom you say it to. Think twice before you say something. If it's something that you think you're going to regret later, don't say it. All right, folks, those are the five things that you should not say at your workplace. Be very careful because you do not want to lose that job. I'm going to go through the list one more time. If you're tuned in right now, you are listening to radio.dominican.edu. Yeah, my baby, right here. And this is Spot On. We've just talked about the five things that you should not say at your workplace. Number one, it's not your fault. Number two, it's all your fault. Number three, it's not fair. Number four, that's not my job. And the last one, don't tell so-and-so, but. Okay? Think about those five things, because this can actually save you your job.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Spot On Radio, the Dominican.edu. Yeah, my baby right here. And we are having fun in the studio. I'm just telling y'all about all these interesting things that are happening out there. I'm basically telling y'all or sharing with y'all information about how you can preserve and how you can keep your job. That's what we just talked about in the first segment of our show. And right now, in the second segment, what I want to talk about is people who like whining. Okay, personally, I don't like people who like whining. I don't like whining myself. I'm more like, you should go with the flow. You should be able to adapt. You should be a smart person, basically. Okay, if something goes wrong, you should find ways of how you can deal with your problem. That's what I think, folks. That's what I think. So if that's how I live, and I know some folks who also live the same way, because when something goes wrong, how does whining help? You know what I mean? And during the first segment, I talk about how when you come across to people like the whining type, then folks always try to stay away from y'all. They try to steer away from your route. Every route that you're taking, you're going to find that nobody want to take the same route because you like whining. You like saying, oh, this and that is somebody else's fault. Oh, this and that, that's not fair. You know what I mean? And it's not good. It's not good. So there is this one particular restaurant worker who likes getting tips. Now, I don't have a problem with tips, okay? I don't have a problem with tips. I think, matter of fact, that if you go somewhere and somebody gives you a good service, you should give them a good tip too, right? I mean, that's a gesture for being appreciative of whatever, you know, whatever service that you got. So I don't have a problem with that, okay? But there's this one particular guy from Delaware, and this guy is a restaurant worker, and there is, like, so this guy has this particular odd habit of taking photos of bad tippers and posting the photos on Twitter and Facebook, okay? So you go to that restaurant and then you don't give him good tips. He take a photo of y'all and he post it on Twitter and he post it on Facebook. Now, I don't know how he came up with that particular idea, but I don't think that is good. People's privacy should be respected. And when you take photos of people and then you post it on Facebook or Twitter without their consent, and just because they did not give you good tips, what is that, folks? What is that? Do y'all think this person is justified to do that? I want to hear what you got to say about this, okay? Hit me up on my Facebook at Facebook.com/spotter12 and tell me what you think. And you can also call the studio at 415-482-3587 and let me hear what you got to say about this, because I don't think this is right. This is very messed up. That's what I think, okay? Tipping is not mandatory. It's not a must. I don't think it is, okay? I don't think it is. Matter of fact, that guy, he's working in a restaurant and he got his monthly salary. He got his weekly pay. Hell yeah, I agree. I think he also got his bonuses that he gets at the end of the week or at the end of the day. So you going there to spend money and holy dads, he's take photos of y'all and post it on social networks saying that you tip bad? What is that? What is that? So folks have actually found out through Instagram, and you know what I'm saying, like you go through Instagram or this social network and then you see one of your friends and you'll be like, yo, what's going on, dude? I saw you in some photos. And then you tag him and then you see yourself you know, being advertised in the wrong way. So folks brought this guy to the manager's attention, and right now he's been placed on temporary leave with no pay. And the manager of the restaurant in Delaware has actually said he's very apologetic and he didn't know about it. And he wants people to, not to not talk about the restaurant in a bad way. So he's warned people not to boycott going to the restaurant just because there's this one particular employee who was behaving like a jackass. Yeah, so I think that that's this guy's problem. It's not the management fault. I don't know if they knew, but I think if they knew, they should also be reprimanded for this habit because it's not good. Okay, so this guy has been placed on temporary leave with no pay, and we don't know if they're going to give him his job back, but that should teach him a lesson. And I say kudos to the management for doing that. Kudos to the manager for doing that, because that was not right. That was not right. I would not wish for somebody to take a picture of me and post it on social network just because I gave him bad tips. What is that? It's like he forcing me to give him tips the way he wanted. Yo, I'm working for my money, okay? I'ma spend it the way I want to spend it. Don't tell me how to spend my money. That's not right. You know what I mean? If you want good tips, or if you want a well-paying job, you should try to be courteous. Try to apply to big restaurants if you think that the restaurant you're working at is too small and you don't get good pay. Alright? So that's just my opinion, folks. I want to hear what you got to say about this. Okay? Still talking about tipping and how people are trying to make ends meet and whatnot. Ben Affleck is actually and some other actors from the Avengers and some of his friends have actually joined this initiative that it's like a cause, basically. It's like not firsting. They've joined this cause, and they're going to be living on $1.5 a day. You know, $1.50 a day. They're going to be living on that a day, and for a period of 5 days. Now, you ask me, I think that it's kind of a good cause because they're trying to make themselves look like they're sharing some of the agonies and some of the frustration that the common man or the people who are living under $1.5 a day, what they're going through. They're trying to experience the same thing. Now, a lot of folks have actually talked bad about this initiative, and because particularly Ben Affleck, who is involved in this initiative, and they're saying that this is not right. This is not right. Like, you should not try to make yourself look good in the eyes of folks and try to pretend that you're going to live on $1.50 a day while you know you got millions. You know, hell, anybody can do that if they're millionaires. You know, I mean, they're saying that Ben Affleck has a fridge stocked with food and he cannot live on $1 a day because he got running water in his mansion, in his big ass mansion, and he got electricity and he got workers that he gotta pay. So basically there's a lot of things that go on in his life, and he cannot live on $1 a day just because of all those things that surround him. His house, his kids, his wife, his workers, and everything else. So they're saying that this initiative is not, like, basically, they're just saying it's not right, you know? Now, I'm not saying that Ben Affleck is wrong for doing this, but I'm just saying that when you're doing something, well, it's very different, basically. It's different. For somebody who lives under $1 a day and they ain't got nothing, it's very different from somebody who's trying to experience the same life and they got millions in their bank account waiting for them, you know? I mean, hell yeah, you can live on $1 a day for a whole month comfortably if you know that you got all that money waiting for you and you can just do, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have problem with money. It's not really the same thing. So I understand what everybody else is saying out there, that Ben Affleck is being a douche for doing this. And they're saying that he got a lot of money and he can help the poor with that kind of money, or he can build businesses for people in America, people who ain't got jobs, so that he can employ them. Now, I don't think that is a bad idea myself, because I think he's very capable of doing that. So, folks, I want to hear also what you got to say about that. I mean, the Ben Affleck initiative or the cause that he's doing right now, living under $1.5 a day. Do y'all think that he's justified to do it? Do y'all think that is justification for doing it? And do y'all think that he's going to feel the same way as folks who ain't got nothing and who are living under $1 a day? Now, this guy is very philanthropic, actually. He got an organization that helps support the people in Congo, Ben Affleck Initiative, which basically helps people with people who are in financial difficulty and people who don't got no food to eat. And I don't know what that initiative does, but it seems like he's a philanthropic guy. So I think maybe he has good reasons for doing this one living under $1 a day initiative. But I just want to hear your opinion, okay? I want to hear what y'all got to say about this, okay? If you're tuning in right now, you are listening to radio.dominican.edu. Yeah, my baby right here. And this is Spot On. Yeah, yeah, welcome back to Spot On. You are listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Yeah, my baby right here. And thanks for tuning in. You know how we always do. We have fun in the studio, but we still educate, or we still share information that is beneficial to us and the society. You know? So right now, this is a sad story, folks. This is a very sad story. Can you imagine having a best man in your wedding and then a few years later the best man kills your wife and stabs you, like try to kill you? Can you imagine that? So apparently yesterday there is this guy And this is so sad. Like, it just brings tears to my eyes, folks. You know? Just brings tears to my eyes. Is this guy 29-year-old? This guy is 27-year-old, actually. And he's a political fundraiser. And he got a wife who's 29 years old, who's also a fundraiser. Okay? And they had a best man. I'm not going to say his name. John Doe. And so their friend, who's been their friend like forever, like they've known him since forever. This guy is 31 years old. Okay? So it's very unfortunate. And so they invited him over for dinner. And right after they've eaten and you know, they're just telling stories, this guy goes crazy. Takes up, picks up the knife, slaughters the wife, you know, stabs the husband on the back. And unfortunately, the wife died. And the husband is fighting severe injuries at the hospital. He's not dead. And the doctors say that they think he's going to make it. Of course, the guy was taken into custody. It's not something to smile about. That is always one of my things that I like saying when something is not pleasing. It's not something to smile about. And if something is not good to smile about, if you can't smile about something, it means it's terrible. Really, really terrible. Now, we know in life, like, we have a lot of narcissistic people out there. We have people who don't care about hurting people. People don't even care. They don't even have those feelings. They don't show emotions. I don't get it. I don't get it. What's wrong with our society, folks? What's wrong with that? Y'all know what I'm talking about? This kind of folks who don't have no emotions. Like, how do you do it? How can you even do that? How can you even think about it? Later on, perpetrate the action. The thought just sickens me. Taking a knife and stabbing and killing folks that you represented them, or as you know, I'm saying, you are the best man at their wedding. How can you even do that? Now, I hope this guy rots in jail, because that is what he's supposed to be to do. You know, I hope they find him guilty of first degree murder, because he does not belong to our society. This society, we don't need this kind of folks. This kind of folks who stab people and kill people in cold blood, your friends. You know, think about it. If somebody can kill their best friends, what can they do to strangers? Y'all know what I'm, you know, y'all understand what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say that if somebody can hurt their friends, then that means they won't have a problem with hurting a stranger. This guy should rot in jail. That is my opinion. I believe that if people got issues, they should try to see psychiatrist help. Go to the doctor. Go seek a psychologist's help. Like, you know, go tell him you have a problem and you cannot control your, you know, if you have anger management issue, for instance, or if you're having problems and you cannot express yourself properly, you do not deserve to have things like knives or guns around you. That is why we have all these crimes and people going crazy shooting everybody and people going crazy stabbing everybody. My take, like I said, I'm not going to change my position, is this guy should rot in jail. And that is one of my pet peeves. Okay? That is one of my pet peeves in our today's society, is that we have crazy people who don't care about hurting people. That is why that guy, you know, planned the Boston bombing. Now, I know there is like another controversial issue going on right now that it could be, you know, all those conspiracy theorists who are saying that maybe not, you know, maybe it was this guy's fault, or maybe it wasn't, or maybe it was the, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just a lot of conspiracy theories going on right now. But just for just people to kill innocent people at a race that was meant to raise money for a just cause, that is very sickening. It's very disturbing. Okay. It's very disturbing. And like I always say again, it's nothing to smile about. Okay. And there is, you know, those people who are suffering from obesity. You know, we have the biggest obesity in America. People who suffer from obesity, we have the biggest population in America because of the food that we do eat. Okay, and it's funny that researchers are actually coming out with something that can help with our obesity problems. Okay, and this is funny, but researchers are actually finding out that ancient Egyptians, Indians, and Americans used to tie a cord at the waistline to make them slim. Okay, so they're saying that maybe to slim, you need to have a cord around your waist like ancient Egyptians and Indians and Americans used to do. So they're saying this could actually help lose weight, you know. So they found out that modern day British brand Mallory Band produces cords for up to 25 to 40 sterling pounds. And this silver cord can be worn for 24 hours a day, and it doesn't have any side effects, you know. So this cord was actually designed to provide a timely tap on the shoulder in case of overindulgence in food. And the founder, who's called Penny Marlowe, actually claims that it uses psychology of constant awareness. So you're constantly aware of your weight and of yourself, and that can help you to have a slim waist or just basically to lose waist. Now, I think this is very interesting. You know, I think this is very interesting because it's not like them pills whereby you know a lot of people be turning to pills right now to slim. And I don't know about that. You know, there's a lot of diet pills. I don't know about that. Personally, I think that if you want to cut down on waist and if you want to look good, you should start running. Physical exercise. Hit the gym if you can run. Use the treadmill and do some endurance exercises. Okay, that is if you want to cut down on them pounds, that is the best way to go, personally, I think. You know, if you ain't got time and you still want to cut down on your weight, you gotta make time. Okay, there is no shortcut. There is no shortcut like the companies who be inventing pills and whatnot, like they be saying. I don't think there is shortcut. Okay, hit the gym, make your timetable, start running. You know, just make yourself productive, basically. And this is interesting, actually. Last week I read that when you do your house chores, that is one way of working out. I didn't know that. Now I'm going to start doing more house chores than I used to do before. Okay, because doing your house chores can actually burn up to 100 calories a day. Now, depending on how heavy the duty is, when the heavier the duty, the more calories you burn. Okay, now I know a lot of people did not know that, but right now they know, thanks to Spot On, thanks to Yema Baby, thanks to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Yeah.
First saw you, I saw love, and the first time you touched me, I felt love, and after all this time, you're still the one I love. We've come, my baby. We might have took the long way. We knew we'd get there someday. They said, I bet they'll never make it. But just look at us holding on. We're still together, still going strong. Still, you're still the one I run to, the one that I belong to. You're still the one I want for life. You're still the one that I love, the only one I dream of. You're still the one I kiss. I'm glad we didn't listen. Look at what we would be missing. They said, I bet they'll never make it. But just look at us holding on. We're still together, still going strong.
Yeah, welcome back to Spot On Penguin Radio, a radio at Dominican.edu. Yeah, my baby in the studio. And moving forward, folks, moving forward. Y'all know how we do it. Now, President Barack Obama, yeah. His daughters want to get a tattoo. What do y'all think about it? Yeah, Malia and Sasha wants to get tattoos. And President Barack Obama actually has said that if their daughters get a tattoo, which of course they don't want them to, but if they persist, then they will also get tatted. Now this is interesting, man. Y'all, yeah, can y'all think about our president, the chief, the commander in chief getting tatted? That would be dope. Yeah, that would be so sick. Yeah. So I don't know what kind of tattoo Mali and Sasha are thinking of. But you know, President Barack joked about it. Okay? Their daughters get tatted, they're gonna get tatted. And they think that, I mean, you don't gotta express yourself by getting tattoos. You know what I'm saying? Like, personally, I don't got anything against tattoos. I don't got none, but I don't got anything against them either. My brother got sweet tattoos, and I know some folks, some of my friends who got sweet tattoos too. And I was supposed to get tatted this year, but basically I was supposed to get tatted in January, but I chickened out because we drove all the way to Los Angeles to get tatted. And when I saw my brother going through that pain, he was like squealing. He was like, I feel it. And I was like, hell yeah. So when it came to my turn, I chickened out. I was like, oh, my bro, I am not feeling like going through pain right now. I don't want to go through pain. So I chickened out. I didn't get tatted. But mine is coming real soon, folks. I'm going to get tatted, and I'm going to share the picture with y'all. I know I'm going to come out with a decent, very decent design. Yeah, I can't wait for that day. I know everybody be waiting for that. Yeah. So I want to hear about designs, folks. Anybody get tattoos out there, hit me up on my Facebook and let me know the designs that you got, so that if y'all got sick designs, then I might steal one or two ideas from y'all folks. Okay? Facebook fan page, Facebook/SpotOn. Tell me what y'all think I should get. Okay? Anyways, now, I did not ever think about, you know, how people behave in front of other people, okay? So there is this one particular man in Denver, and the guy was getting a flight. He was actually getting a flight from Chicago to Denver. He's 34 years old, but he could not travel because he weighs more than 340 pounds. Okay, so the flight attendants kicked him out of the plane because they said he was too fat. He was too fat, folks. He was too fat. Now, again, folks, this is why I think that our society needs to change their game. We need to change our thinking. We need to change the way we treat people if we want to make our society better, you know? Now, do y'all sit down and sometimes think why people do the things that they do? It's because of things like this. When people discriminate against people, you become bitter. And when you become bitter, you can talk about it with nobody else. Then you think of ways of which you can express yourself. You can get everybody's attention. That's one of the reasons as to why people do the sad things that they do. It's because they've been discriminated against. They don't have nobody who understands them. And everybody be treating them like shit. Now, I don't understand the reason as to why these flight attendants can kick somebody who's paid for their flight ticket off the plane just because they're saying he's too fat. What is that, folks? What is that? I think that all these flight attendants needs to be shamed in front of the entire nation. You know? Here you have a guy who's good spirits, well-spirited, somebody who's full of love, and you be discriminating against him because you're saying he's too fat. Our society, we need a shift of mentality. We need to change the way we think. We need to change the way we treat people. We need to act right. And personally, Yemabe in the studio, I'm saying that this is not right. And all those flight attendants, a matter of fact, the airlines should be sued. And this guy should be compensated for damages. Because this is emotional wreck. This is psychological torture. That's what it is, which is bad than physical torture, you know? The guy is going to live his life thinking that he's too fat, he's not going to be allowed to travel anywhere, and he's going to live his life, you know what I'm saying? Like, just basically looking down upon himself, just because there were some flight attendants who were stupid enough to call him too fat in front of everybody and embarrass him by kicking the guy off the plane. It's not right. And I think we should stand up in arms and actually show support for this guy and saying that, and actually say that being fat is not being evil. Okay? Being fat is not being a bad person. You know? Leave the guy alone. Leave the guy alone, and you yourself, you should be ashamed for doing that. Okay? If you're one of those folks out there who keep calling people fat, or keep discriminating against folks just because they are fat, or just because they belong to certain groups of folks, you know, or just because they have certain affiliation, you should be ashamed of yourself. And I'm just telling you right now that I ain't got respect for y'all. Okay? Treat people the way you want to be treated. That's how you should treat people. Okay? So, if you're the kind of person who discriminates against other people, shame on y'all. Big shame on y'all. Lastly, our last talk of the day, or last story of the day. There is this guy, a gang leader in prison, who's actually fathered 5 children with 4 female prison guards. Yeah, a gang leader who's fathered 5 children with 4 female prison guards. Now, where is our morals, folks? Keep talking about morals. Where is our morals? What are we trying to change? Somebody has been convicted of being a bad person and he's in prison. Matter of fact, he's a gang leader. And female prison guards be giving sex to this guy? And right now they got his babies? What is that? Like, what is going on, folks? What is going on? What kind of discipline are we trying to instill in prison cells? You know? For 4 prison guards to get pregnant by this gang leader in prison? How low can people stoop? How low? Now, my thinking is, like, what prompted these female prison guards to actually have sex with this guy? And are they married or not? Oh, man. So right now, federal investigators have said that actually 13 female guards were on this scheme. And this happened at Baltimore City Detention Center. And they allowed these members of notorious black guerrilla family gang to smuggle in prescription drugs and cell phones. So apart from sex, they allowed them to smuggle prescription drugs and cell phones. You know? And one prison gang member boasted that he makes every final call in this jail. He makes final calls in that jail. Prison guards need to step up their game, and they need to understand the reason as to why they got that job in the first place. And they need to keep the prisoners in order, not be having sex with them, not getting babies with them, you know? Because I think that when people do that, when people think that they call the shot in prison cells, they don't learn the reasons as to why they got convicted of those crimes in the first place. Okay? So, we need to condemn such actions when they happen. We need to condemn our prison guards giving favors to prisoners in jail because they don't learn. And we need them to learn that what they did was wrong. That is why they're in jail in the first place. Okay, y'all tell me what you think. I think it's wrong when female prisoners give sex to prisoners. I think it's very wrong. Morally, it doesn't sound right in our community. And I think that these female prisoners, or these female guards basically, who got impregnated by the gang leader, need to be told. I mean, they don't need to be discriminated against, but they need to be told that what they did was wrong. And it is not supposed to be happening. It should not be condoned. So this should act as a lesson to anybody else who's thinking about applying for a job at any detention center or any prison center. Okay? Know yourself. Know your morals. There's some boundaries that you should not cross. Okay? Folks, that's my time. You've been listening to Radio.Dominican.edu. Spot on. Yeah, my baby. Tune in again next Tuesday, same time. Have a lovely week. Adios.